Welcome to Washington Defender Grassroots. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. And if you want to check us out, go to fpiwaction.org. This is one of our meet and greet the candidates. As you know, FPIW and FPIW Action, we love for you to be an informed voter and to meet these candidates. So if you're running for office and you'd like to come on the show, Republican, Democrat, Independent, we don't care. We just want to get to know you. Email grassroots at fpiwaction.org. Hey, Brandon, welcome to the program. We're glad to have you today.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me on, Pastor Brian. This is a great opportunity. Where should I begin?
Well, let's start out with just what community are you from? I many people who will be listening, you know, we're from the state of Washington, but I see that it's a Central Valley School District, a school board candidate. So where is that at?
Yeah, so I live out in the Central Valley area, kind of over by University High School. I'm in district number 2, and I'm running for Central Valley School Board position 2. So there's 5 seats on the school board. 2 are up for re-election, position 5 and position 2. And I am running on number 2. I got involved with going to school board meetings because I'm now a father with a daughter in the school district. She is in elementary school, and we plan on being in the district for quite some time. So I started going to the board meetings just to get better informed about what topics they were discussing, what the curriculum was going to look like, the things they were voting on. I got more passionate when I started hearing about the Title IX issues. Mm-hmm. So I actually went to school board meetings and spoke about those issues, mostly around keeping boys out of girls' sports, keeping boys out of girls' locker rooms and bathrooms. You know, having a daughter in the district, it was kind of concerning that this was even something we had to discuss and fight for, but that's what got me involved. And then I got a phone call from a friend saying, "Hey, you live in District 2?" And I said, "I do." I didn't know what district I lived in at the time. It wasn't something I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. I said, "Well, why does that matter?" And they said, "Well, there's a position on the board, and if you live in District 2, you can run for it." So I thought, oh gosh, I'm going to all these meetings. I'm trying to be better informed. I want my daughter's education to be as best as it possibly can be, right? Mm-hmm. I might as well run. So I launched off into this campaign, and I thought at first, you know, this is a school board. How involved could it really be? It's not like I'm running for president of the United States, but it actually is quite involved, and we've hit the ground running. We're out trying to just connect with community members, let them know who I am, why I'm running, what I'm all about. I should also mention that I'm the only candidate for position 2 who's been officially endorsed by the Spokane Republican Party. That is the real GOP. So that's kind of where my political lines are, although this is a nonpartisan position. So that's why I'm doing this. I want the best for our community. I want the best for our kids. I've got a huge stake in all this with my daughter being in the district. That's why I'm doing it. A little bit about myself. I grew up in Spokane. I went to North Central High School, graduated 20 years ago now, back in 2005. Went on to WSU, got my bachelor's in biochemistry, and then went on to get my doctorate in pharmaceuticals. I'm a pharmacist at a local hospital system. I also own my own real estate company here locally. Let's see, we lived over in the Tacoma, Seattle area until about 2018. And then we moved back to Spokane, and that's when my daughter was born in 2019. So that's a little bit about me and why I'm doing this.
That's great. So it sounds like you have an invested interest in the Spokane area. Spokane Valley is, I think, where you're describing. And we understand that you want to run for office and you have some business experience. So let's talk about when we look at running for office and the school board, what are some of the things that are concerned to you and how will you address those in a school board position?
Yeah, absolutely. So I initially got sort of sparked into this because of the Title IX issues. Okay. But that's only one piece to all this, right? I know that's a hot button topic, but it's only one piece to really what it means to be a board member. The position is a 4-year term. There's lots of topics that come up over 4 years. some that are the real hot topics that are going to make the front page in the newspaper, and a lot of them that, you know, quite frankly, most people don't even know are being discussed. Mm-hmm. Aside from, you know, girls' safety and sports in our school district, I'm pretty passionate about parental rights. So we, you know, we have this this bill that came out basically spelling out parental rights, had a lot of great things in it. But then with House Bill 1296, it peeled back some of those things. I think back to my time in school and how involved my parents were, how much they knew about exactly what was being taught. They knew if I got in trouble at school and had to be counseled. They knew if I was, you know, got injured and needed medical attention. Some of what is being proposed in 1296, it basically peels back the parents' ability to be informed. And
right.
When you think about parents and family, right? Kids in our community are, you know, may not have their parents, but they're being raised by other family members. So I say parents and family. You know, they're the backbone of raising that child so that they can become a productive member of society. The school district and the schools are there to facilitate the education, right? And help, but they're not there to raise the kid. Mm-hmm. And so putting a wall between the child and the parent is not something I'm in favor of. So parental rights is a big piece to my platform, absolutely.
That's great.
And then, yeah, you touched on, so I am a business owner. I know quite a bit about managing finances. I've never managed a budget as large as the Central Valley School District's budget. Mm-hmm. But I do know a lot about analyzing sort of line by line where the money is going. And when you mm-hmm. look at a budget as large as Central Valley School District's budget, and I'll just give you, you know, it's hundreds of millions, right? It's in the 200s of millions of dollars. It's nearly double that of the city of Spokane Valley alone, almost double. So it's a lot of money we're talking about. It's split out into five different budgets. And we don't have to get all the detail of it, but some of those items, you know, they're contractual. There's not a lot of wiggle room, but a lot of them are. And when we think about potential budget cuts that could be coming, you know, we're trying to do basically more with less. We have to get creative and we have to be really financially savvy, and we need to cut out the fat if the fat is there and just make sure we're spending every dollar responsibly. So, you know, my platform is really built on protecting our girls and parental rights and fiscal transparency, and making sure our budget is fine-tuned so that we're using every single dollar as best we can. You know, we reach out to taxpayers to pay taxes into the school district. If we're not spending those wisely, they're not going to vote to continue to spend money with us, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when you borrowed money from your parents. You know, if they think you just wasted it, maybe they're not going to loan it to you again. So we have to just think about all these things when we're looking at the budget.
Yeah, and I think it's very important to note that, you know, all the tax dollars that do come in come from property tax for the bulk of it. And that is the citizens' money. It's not necessarily the school's money or whatever. It is through taxation that they receive it. How will you honor and steward that well? I mean, we obviously want the best education, but there seems to be some misalignment within the Spokane area and Spokane Valley area with the families, right? From what the school district is pushing on a number of ideologies that seem to be coming down the pipe.
You know, are you talking specifically about some of the newer things that are coming from Olympia with education, or are you talking about budget and taxes?
Well, I think the budget and taxes, you know, we end up funding things that go outside of the scope of reading, writing, and arithmetic, the basics of things, into other areas of social and, quite frankly, religious beliefs, right? That I, you know, most of us think that shouldn't really be handled in school. The parents should handle those topics. So how will you take the budgets and make sure that they're going towards the basics of education and making sure that we're standing up to what's coming out of Olympia?
And so I guess just to start, taking God out of the classroom, I'm not for that. Some of the things that they're trying to push as far as LGBTQ, hopefully I got that acronym correct, and instilling that into some of the curriculum, some of the sex ed education that they're pushing even as young as on kindergartners. All of those things don't really make sense in my mind. And all of those things obviously cost money if you're going to put them into the school's curriculum. Unfortunately, we do have things coming out of Olympia that are kind of forcing our hand to some extent. As a board member, I would do anything in my power to sort of combat some of these things, question some of these things, make sure that what we're doing actually makes sense and is appropriate based on the age of the child. And hopefully that answered your question a little bit there.
Yeah, I think there's that courageous step that we all have to take when we're in leadership that says, "Hey, I know this is what it's being said, but how do we come together and really stand for the basics?" I don't know of many teacher or many teachers and or parents who are saying, "I'm opposed to teaching real math to kids. I'm opposed to, teaching real English to kids. I'm opposed to teaching how to write." I think it's all the other stuff that they've added in that seems to be convoluting and becoming the focal point of education, which really is not education whatsoever. Any other areas that you'd like to address with us as we go?
Those are the main areas. I guess just going back to your last question about how some of this curriculum that obviously taxpayers are paying for that really don't get to like the core curriculum, writing, math, et cetera. I think we need to think pretty hard about where we land as far as state and national test rankings. If we're not at the top, which we're not, and scores are going down, which they are, why are we trying to push a unique curriculum that really has no, I guess, well-studied background that it's going to improve outcomes for our kids? We need to start thinking about how do we improve those four fundamental curriculums so that we can excel where we're testing it, right? Where we're we if we are testing our kids and those test scores are being presented both on the state level and nationally, then why aren't we focusing on improving those? Why are we pushing these sort of more frivolous types of education? They're really just going to take away from the teacher's time to teach what's most important.
Yeah. And I think as we move into this era of technology, having those AI is specifically what I'm mentioning is having those foundations down are even more important because, yes, you can ask a computer to do something for you, but the reality is, do you have a core to ask intelligent questions and to move forward and be a contributor to society? And so, I think as we need every ounce of leadership that we can, right? From every school board member across our state to every superintendent and every teacher to stand up and say, let's get back to the basics of education and get rid of all this other stuff. It's not working. Any closing remarks that you like to, we like to keep these about 10, 15 minutes and but any other closing remarks that you'd like to do?
No, I don't think so. Just to hit on what you just mentioned, getting back to the fundamentals and the fundamentals not only in the classroom and the curriculum and what's being taught, but also the budgetary fundamentals. I think that if you look over, the past 10, 20, 30 years, the bureaucracy, the administrative costs have gone through the roof. Those things need to be addressed, at least in my opinion, or at least analyzed and looked at.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people don't realize how many dollars don't really go towards educating the child. They go through supervision and other things. And so those administrative costs are really important to look at. All right, so how can people get a hold of you or what can they do to assist you?
So, absolutely. Check out my website. I'm not sure if we're able to post that somewhere, but
Sure.
it is arthurforwaugh.com. That's ArthurForWaugh.com. And also feel free to contact me. My email and phone number is on that website. If you believe in what I have to offer, what I'm saying, there is options on my website to donate, volunteer or register. So I appreciate it.
Awesome. And we'll put his website in our comments on the bottom of this broadcast. Also want to encourage you and remind you that nothing in this video is an endorsement of the candidate, nor the candidate's endorsement of FPIW or FPIW Action. It's simply a public service to meet and greet the candidates. We just want to get to know people. And so if you're out there and you're thinking, hey, I'm running for office, we would love to have you on. We're not party affiliated. We love to interview and get to know everything from nonpartisan positions to Republican, Democrat, and Independent. So we want to hear from all of them because we know an informed citizenship is a better voting citizenship. So we greatly encourage that. Brandon, thank you so much for taking the time today to come on and meet our audience. And we'll get this out there for you and let people make their decision.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Well, like we like to say around here, go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.